This is continuation of the Hammond Lodge Council discussion.
If I don't disagree. So what I'm hearing is to bring back a comparative analysis from different cities and different models that they're using to see what will work best for Hammond, but that we will continue their funding mechanism that's currently in place for the next budgetary year. So they'll come back, Alan will come to you with the budget that we would recommend for next year. So moving off that, is there anything else before we move on off that on the 501c3
issue? I think to get through and resolve this question of the 501c3 issue, it would be really great to form a natural work group between staff and the Arts Council to define what are the pros and cons of being a 501c3 or staying with the city, because that, I don't think that full analysis has been done.
Not fully, you're right.
And so we would be able to understand those decision points better. Just for it as an example, editorial control. What if they wanted to, as a 501c3, produce some play or event that we may not perceive is in the line with the standards that our community has? How do we work through those issues? So they may want more editorial control. We may not want to see that. So, and then what can we do to mitigate that if we give them funding? So
your control is money.
Right. So I think we need to understand, how would we do that? Would it be, you know, in the form of the grants that we write, that they're only qualified for a certain amount, or we structure the 501c3 board such that the city has an interest or a control over it? I mean, what are some of the options? Well,
the other option, too, is, and John, can they look, if we didn't do the 501c3, could we do a policies and procedures which would give a little more teeth in kind of mirroring it as a 501c3, and we still have the control of it, but still have some flexibility. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
you can structure it somewhere.
We're going to have to write some procedure either way we go.
Right.
We know that because there's too many loose ends. So to your point.
I would also like to add, that's a good point, Carly, you make, is just to look at other cities who have a 501c and say, what drove you to do that? And do you have any...
Right, would you do it again if
Sure. Yeah, I think if... Some might say, you know what, that's the worst mistake we made, or hey, it was a good one, we'll do it again.
In my ideal world, we'd have harmony in that presentation. The Arts Council would be saying the same things the staff says, but we would say, we all agree that if you go this route, we'd be giving up some editorial control, but we all agree this is how we would bring that in. So we can get to some understanding with that so that we have less opinions to bet. That will be helpful, and then we can make, I think, a better decision in the long run.
Maybe we have something wrapped up by the summer retreat if the council wants on, if the council wants on an agenda item to really spend some time, talk about it, give us good direction to get things implemented the way you want to go.
We just
is that enough time, Wendy?
Yeah, but we need to be sensitive to their summer musical schedule. You know, that takes a lot of bandwidth.
That's in August, so they're wrapped up in children's play, so it might
maybe it'll work for them.
But they are busy between on ends to take some of your time. I'm not going to give
you
that
verification,
not verification.
Yeah. We can get that taken care of. Absolutely.
Is there anything else on the 501c3 takeaway before we move on to some of the other things that have happened since the last retreat? So we have seen some more transparency in accounting. As you heard earlier, their credit cards were removed this week, and we are in the process of writing new policies and procedures for their finances. Alan and I will get together and hammer those out committee-wide. They'll have to apply to all of the committees and anyone who uses city money that's outside the city staff.
Well, do we have anything, and maybe Alan's question, do we have anything in place in terms of like a purchase order before they go out and purchase something, or we just say, hey?
Not currently.
And the reason I bring it up is that, remember the Wendell party they had? And so there has been a couple of instances, one in particular, that where we raised an eyebrow on some of the things they did do. And so I don't know if we could put something in the policy which would allow for the city to say, hey, we approve it, or could you look at a different, you know what I'm saying? So we could have a little more voice in some.
It's one of the gifts, the parties, the buying the dinners was the biggest concern by council in the past.
Right. I don't know. I don't know how the council feels, but I feel like we need to have a little more, until we decide whether 501c3, we need to have a little more teeth in the type of purchases. And do there have to be some pre-approvals on certain items?
Yeah. an app with all our procurement policy as it is, but still Wendy will be scrutinizing all the purchases.
Yeah. I mean, if they're in the middle of a production and they'll send me batteries for a...
No, I'm not being that. I'm just saying if they're going to have a major activity or something like that, or you're going to give gifts out or something like that, let's just, I think we need to have a little more.
Okay. All of their financial receipts, invoices, and reporting is being reviewed by staff prior to submission for payment, so we're going through all of those. And there have been times where I have been really nitpicky with them on getting these things and not submitting their stuff until I receive what I need. So I won't pass off anything that's questionable. And like I said, Alan and I are going to hash out a new purchasing policy and procedure. Since we've taken those cards away, we really need to get them some direction in how they're going to work moving forward. So we will get on that right away in the next 2 weeks and not have a hiccup because they're getting to the part. Yes. Yes, James did send out an email to all of his Arts Council members asking them to remove any credit cards from Amazon accounts or Etsy accounts or any of the costume accounts that they ordered things on. So that should all be taken care of.
And in addition to the financial policy and procedure, it occurs to me that we should also work on that from the Parks and Events. You're probably assuming that, but what advance notice is required for staff time? What access can be granted to certain facilities, what, ticket purchasing or volunteer or whatever, all of those things, hopefully, in addition to the financial policies, can come into play so that there's a set that we can adopt fully because we are getting into that season and we hate to have any misunderstanding about what we will provide in way of staff or
Just from back on that Amazon accounts, when you set up an account to purchase it, like they're doing these costumes and stuff, you can't find this anywhere.
Sure.
So they go out and shop for them. To set up the account, you have to give a credit card number. That was when he's concerned, so just have to make sure those are going to be off.
Shouldn't we just...
We're going to be
sending those cards.
The cards are already done. We're going to do a second layer, make sure that...
That information's gone. So there's no misunderstanding at all.
We are already talked about exploring the coordination with Georgia School District to expand a theater in an upcoming middle school or high school. What I heard from those discussions, and it wasn't something that the council was very interested in pursuing due to the dollar amount, but the dollar amount
how
really...
How much was the dollar amount?
It's about $2 million.
I was just wondering, I had a thought, and I don't know if the district would be, and I'm sure they're not going to try to put funds, but they still would have some usage of it.
Oh, yeah.
But to make it available, maybe not only for us only, but what about all the surrounding communities that would go to Jordan School District because they could benefit from it as well. I mean, it's just not a Harriman thing. We have South Jordan, we got Riverton, even West Jordan. If they wanted to say, hey, we want to have a theatrical presentation, why does it have to be Harriman? That may, and I don't know if that discussion we could have that with the district and say, would the district be interested in putting 50% in and then maybe even some of the cities pulling
in West Jordan?
Because I don't think South Jordan doesn't have one, do they?
No, but Riverton West Jordan doesn't. Is going to build their own. And our philosophy behind that was, you know, we want our residents to go get entertained in our city, not go out of our city when we get entertained. If we're paid for the Arts Council, we're going to.
Yeah. And I recall we had the same example just a short time ago where there was a hope that they could use a nearby theater in South Jordan. Arts Council did,
right.
And we requested that they remain here local in our city. So I think that other cities would be sensitive to that. I believe Riverton has the use of their theater inside their city hall, so they have their own facility. West Jordan has theirs. South Jordan has the Kensington Theater. It's a good idea, but I just think enough of them will be wanting to stay in the city that it may not be
well,
successful.
I'm just saying that the Kensington is a good, but it's not very big either. So,
yeah, George School District, we wouldn't rent that out to anybody,
right.
Just for the custodian, especially if it's a city. But like when we caught ours, we was trying to do something else in South Jordan, we said, we fund you, we need to do that in Harriman, not outside of Rutgers, so our people can attend.
Well, and it also makes it more convenient for the performers that are based in Harriman. They need to stay here, and it would be hard to travel.
Okay, that's the direction you gave us before. So.
Anything else, ladies?
Slide two.
There it is.
You can say that.
No.
So I also saw in some of the notes from the retreat from last summer was... questioning the budget numbers and revenues and those kinds of things. So I just pulled some of those to give you an indication where they are at and what they will be requesting for 2018.
Can you send us a copy?
Sure, you bet. Actually, I have a hard copy. I'll send you electronic copy.
I like the copies. I'm old
fashioned. So they have requested $11,000 in additional funding for next year for new line items. One is one that I've kind of been pushing them a little bit on, and that's the visual arts component, which they're great at performance art, and they do a fantastic job with performance art, especially with the budget that they have. But I feel like visual arts is lacking a little bit in the city. There's not a lot of public art spaces. There's not a lot of art installations. There's no rotating galleries or any of that. So that was one thing that I asked them to maybe explore a little bit in classes and community outreach and those types of things. That's what that amount is for.
So would this then be paying for instructors for those classes, or how do you see this $5,000 actually being utilized?
So it could be paying for instructors. It could be helping to finance open houses for Harriman artists that are residents on display. That's an art installation that we have in South Jordan. The Arts Council there also funded the Candy Windows, which is part of their Christmas celebration, which was artists would come and make displays out of candy, and it drew a lot of people. It was a really interesting way for people to appreciate art, and they do a fascinating job. So just some of those different things, a lot more community outreach and classes would be involved in that.
I think for me to help support that type of an ask, I would want to see a concrete plan that will be followed, not just a conceptual idea, but I love the candy windows and things like that, but I want to know what actually will materialize and won't just be funding money and then they're not going to be able to action that. So if they're willing to come up with that, I'll be willing.
Okay. Wendy, the other thing I had is we'll have the town center.
Yes.
How is that going to interface in terms of, because we'll be having a full year there, and is the Arts Council going to be involved in the amphitheater and other things? So is that included in the budget?
Mm-hmm. That is included in there. In this increase in visual arts, so we'd like to have that rotating display of local artists. And additionally, those community classes that we'll be able to do in the community space and outdoors.
Okay. So are we looking at the amphitheater? Are we going to be charging for that, which would then offset if we bring people in?
You can if you have a way to barricade it off.
And barricades can be really ugly and really expensive.
Okay. So we do have the ability to fence off that area and charge admission fees if that's something we want to do or set up some sort of wristband.
I'm just trying to think of the cost of bringing people in. We don't have that in here, do we? In terms of we brought groups in.
They're in the event.
They would fall in the events.
They're not in the
arts. Okay. They're not in the under the. Okay.
They would be in our extra events.
Okay. But we've got that factored in, don't we, Alan, in terms of.
The increase in marketing PR was in response to, and this will require another concrete plan, in response to Councilmember Martin's request for that public relations strategic plan. They would like to do more outreach and get some help with that. So that's part of that. They would also like to create a logo that is ties them to the city but also gives them their own identity as the Arts Council, and so that's part of that menu too. So again, I would work with them to put a concrete plan together for that funding. The storytelling event is in coordination with the Utah Storytelling Guild, which is a growing organization. They do events all over the state, and it is what it is. It's people telling stories. They work with children to help them tell their stories. They go into classrooms and do educational outreach, and so that's that component. They just met with them a few weeks ago with their last committee meeting, and were impressed with what they had. So there's refugees that tell stories, there's older ranchers that tell stories, I mean, it's the whole gamut of storytelling. So
what does the $1,000 really go to on that?
So that goes to paying for the storytellers to come in.
Okay, so they're not volunteers, obviously.
No. Some of them are. If you want a really good one, then you will pay them for them, as any performer.
By contract, then, obviously. Mm-hmm.
When does the Harry Town Days come in under this, or is it under events?
It's events.
Under events and under communications. But they've been, I know James organized it last year. Does he just organize it? Does it come under their budget?
For the entertainment?
Entertainment.
That's out of the events budget.
Right, but he was...
He makes a recommendation, he doesn't organize it.
He doesn't? Because I thought he told me he got the group.
Instance, the contract.
The 1960 school.
He reaches out. He has a lot of really helpful contacts.
I just, based on my conversation with him, I thought he was in charge.
No. Okay. He has some really good contacts, and that's how we found this band for this year. So he put me in contact with them, and then we arranged for the contract and all of that. So. Okay. And then, of course, just a side note that the Historical Committee and the Hilton Harriman Committee also follow the state budget. So the amount that you see at the total at the bottom is not completely Arts Council funding.
We're still going to do the ZAP grant.
Yes. Laura's been working on that with them. It should be submitted by the end of this month, and then we'll hear in August, just like
last There year. Are several accounts that represent revenue for these items that mm-hmm. will show up in your budget.
Off top of your head, Alan, just a ballpark number, because I know we keep talking about expenses, but there's revenues that come in.
Well, the last time I looked, we were almost break even. The big difference is how much we put in out of the city, but you know the money dollars coming in, dollars going out are pretty close. 2 years ago, I think it was like $1,200. They came out in the black. I don't look at this most recent one.
Is that our goal for our chancel, is to pay for itself?
I don't think that goal is...
We've only been told it's a goal, but if it doesn't hear it, it's about creating community, is what we've been told. Except that philosophy changes, we need to know. We try to get back revenue and sponsorships and stuff for the grants, but it's still about community. So when you look at how much comes back in, you're going to, how much you actually have to come out of general fund to fund it is not a big amount. It's to get back.
Do you remember last summer we did a budget increase for them? But it was at the same time they were presenting us with a budget increase of revenue, and we just allowed them the same amount of increase in expenses, but they had increase in revenue.
That may help if the accounts are such that we can get a clear analysis of the past maybe 3 years of how much have we actually spent, and then how much have we actually received in all the different accounts and revenue sources that we get.
The documents of the last 2 years have it back 5 years, and mm-hmm. I think this year we've got 6 years.
Okay, perfect. And that accounts for all of the different sources of revenue.
This is what Alan does when he comes in at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay. He's just bored, he just looks at numbers.
Just looks at numbers.
And egg longest are black and white.
I did throw some green and yellow in there. So just in moving forward, just so you all know, our estimate is 31,000 hours volunteer time spent for this fiscal year. That's what's being submitted for the ZAP grant. Staff are also accounting for hours now. I know that was a topic that had been discussed prior to me starting with the city. So far, year-to-date, approximately 652 staff hours have been spent.
Are they included in the expenditure costs?
Yes. So they are...
The salaries and wages
are
reflecting the 652.
And then we do have some direction here about the 501c3 status. We'll work on that in the next few months. I'll get with James and Deb and pull in probably... I'd be so excited. And... We'll put together some analysis for you and some concrete plans on those budget increases. And then, any other questions?
Well, my only suggestion was, and I know you'll do it, is just convey our appreciation. James does a lot of work.
Very passionate.
He's very dedicated, and I appreciate it. And I hope some of this discussion doesn't lend itself to we're unhappy. It's just, I think the message just is we need to look at some ways as the city continues to grow. We need to look at ways of having better transparency, greater accountability on these programs.
Yeah, man,
it's not a reflection of them.
So I get more worried about them getting burned out because they do a lot of volunteer hours.
Deb does so much herself, and James does a lot, and the whole committee
James
is really...
Did
we beg her back?
Laugh out loud. No, she's a good...
Well, she's a rock star.
Yeah, from the city and the parks.
They've been great to work with, and they're just very passionate and dedicated to what they do.
Spend so many hours volunteering.
Yeah.
I think my observation is just making sure that we account for everything. And this is getting so much better. So thank you, and thank Alan for the work on getting all of everything ahead. I think we just need to be able to make a case to the public that even though we're approving, you know, whatever it is, Arts Council $88,000 perhaps, that we're getting a significant amount of that back in other, you know, sales of the summer musical tickets and Zap grants and things, just so we can really clearly show the income that's received from it as well as the expenditure.
And the sponsorships, yeah.
And the sponsorships, yeah. And speaking of sponsorships, we've worked out the policy on sponsorships and programs and who gets to be added as an ad in the program for the Arts Council.
That was coming.
And you'll be working that into the policy that you're writing.
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
that was
the only we cleared that up.
Thank you.
All of their programs are now under review.
Excellent. So just to have something concrete,
right,
so that everyone, all of the public knows how to take advantage of that opportunity.
And I think, you know, in working with them and helping them understand the processes that should be followed, they don't do this job. They don't understand the transparency and why it's important. So I think just working with them.
And they've gone from very small, you know, organizations to now where we are. It's those golden pins that we've talked about.
Right.
It's just being professional about it.
Yep.
Hey, I hope you don't mind. I can take a minute. I want to thank Wendy. She has been a great hire, and I just really, really appreciate all you're doing. You're putting in new dynamics. It's been really, I think, very, very much needed and very appreciative of the good work you're doing. So thank you.
I'd like to tell everybody who stole her.
No, she's been a great addition to our city.
Yeah. We've done that a lot the last 4 years or so.
Okay, Bryn, budget items.
Okay, this will be fast.
Let's move on to 2.9.
Yeah. So a couple weeks ago, the developer, Doug Young, we talked to him about doing a study for what we call the 300 acres on a couple items, the viability of that commercial and office he was showing there, job creation, the market for all the senior housing. There were two or three different items that we outlined. And he has offered to pay for the study, and he'd like the city just to do it so that we can pick and control that part of it. So he brought in a check for $5,000. It looks like it's going to be about $13,000. So
is he willing to pay the difference?
It sounds like he is.
We would pay nothing. So this would be a money. Now, the reason for bringing it is just for a
budget. It's a budget, so we just take approval
to
spend
the money.
So we
won't do anything until all the cash is cleared.
So we can get a contract with him for that, so that if we expend any funds prior to him,
Alan will get the check before
and
we get
and we won't go over that amount. We'll get a contract with Zions or somebody, and
that'll be it.
And so, and if it needs more, we stop the work until he pays more. So
we choose the study company and the parameters.
We choose.
Of the study
we're working on the
kind
of
for a.
So I already wrote like 10 questions. Okay. Well,
make sure
if you send us all those questions, that'd be great.
Maybe
yeah.
This could go wrong, too.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal. He could do a study, bring it to you, and he was concerned,
yeah,
and all.
I wouldn't trust it.
Yeah.
Right.
So he's okay with us.
No, we're not. I'm not here arguing that. So we're just saying, he said, well, just give you the money. You go pick to do it. And we went to Zions with the rough questions. They said $13,000. So he has to give us the money, and then we'll... But let's get the parameters, let's get who we want and what we want in there.
Okay.
Are we asking for an analysis of any other options? For example, what if we went with low-density residential?
Yeah, it'll be low-density,
so
it's going to show up all quarter acres, all half acres, all acres.
Oh, yeah, we did talk about that.
So
anything
everything
that's contemplated in our general plan will be examined, as well as the potential of changing our general plan and adding more commercial.
So it will show the higher density that he was proposing, but it will show if it was all half acres, the whole thing. Or a combination of third and half, or a combination.
So, what the first thing I wrote down in relation to that is, and I'm sure, hopefully, Zines or whoever would point it out, viability of commercial isn't based on that 270 acres.
No, it's based on.
This time of year, we're taking in daybreak.
It's based on
daybreak.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. 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 We talked about that. Yeah.
They're checking
yeah.
that daybreak.
That's the whole base of the
park fast. Because that's going to be very high.
Right. That's yeah. Yeah. That would be the point of putting it commercial there. But which he has told me, which John Gus told everyone, is capturing all
capturing the
from
Jordan.
Daybreak.
Yes. 300 acres would not support the commercial showing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Anything else?
I put one more thing on there. Just see Alan's name by there. He was reluctant because I knew he was going to talk about the Slovisa. You'd heard about Alan coming at 2 in the morning. He deals with my stuff at 1 in the morning. Now he's doing the Slovisa study, and now I'm postponed to the midnight hour. So what I'm wondering is, just be thinking about, I was going to say, if we're going to get out of Slovisa, I think you're going to want some transparency with the public, explain why we're doing that. And I think no matter what, you're going to want a study. You're just going to. And so to keep the process moving, if you said, look, we're going to do a study, and we agree with the board, we pick somebody, even if the board says you don't need a study and get out, we should do a study, period. And I think we should get somebody that analyzes the whole thing. So I would rather have Alan do other things than this study. That's it. And I'm done talking. I wanted to give him some money to make him do the study.
I'd like him to get us those initial numbers.
Yeah,
first.
The mini study before we do it.
Yeah, I'm not ready to make the commitment for a large
I'm
study.
I'm just not ready to commit this time to it yet. So. I guess it's your time, but I give it money.
He's the only guy on the road at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's 4 seconds to work. So
giving up Alan, guys. Don't do that.
We'll give you John, too.
No, John, no.
John's not going to answer. No.
We bury John, too. Okay,
yeah,
I'm done with my
decision. Done. Okay, Chupa Nang. Radon testing.
Okay.
Radon.
So this started off as a written report until we realized that there's a little bit of an ask at the end. So a few council meetings ago, you received a presentation on radon due to the fact that it is the second largest cause of lung cancer in the United States. And you directed staff to look at what other cities are doing that are providing radon tests and some of the cost options that are associated with that. So we spoke with South Jordan, Taylorsville, and Holiday, who all offer radon kits to their community at a cost. And actually, I think I gave everybody some of the costs. They charge from $4.50 to $6. Now that's based off of what they're able to get the kits for. And they're able to get them at a discounted rate because they order them in bulk. But what it is if you are a continuous orderer, your cost goes down. So the initial price that I was quoted by AirCheck was for $6, but they actually called me back today, and it was an error. It's $7.80 because we haven't ordered from them before. So the first year, it would cost $7.80 per kit, and then next year it would go down to $6.70-something. There was some change in there, and then it would just continue to go down the more that we ordered with them and offered this service. That's with a minimum bulk order of 200, which is pretty average. Most of the cities order between 200 and 300.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
On the Taylorsville and Holiday in South Jordan, they're paying for what did they pay in terms of that's not their cost. So the residents are paying some of it, aren't they? Or not?
This is what they're charging the residents.
They're, okay. So what was their kit? Was it like $9 or $10 or?
No. So they're just trying to charge what it costs.
Okay. They're not paying part of it.
No. Now they did in the beginning. So South Jordan did in the beginning. South Jordan in the beginning. They still didn't want to charge their residents a higher cost, so they just offered it at a lower cost for their residents, knowing that their cost would eventually go down, and then it would compensate for itself, and they would make up for the difference in a couple of years if they continued to offer the service.
Are they sitting on any inventory?
They do, but they don't order too much based off of the fact that the test will go bad after so long. It can't sit for years. And if it gets close to the shelf life, they just start offering them for free. So they'll have giveaways. They'll have open houses where they have, like, a health fair, and they'll just give so many away. They do an educational evening where they have
the Department of Environmental Quality comes and speaks and offers a class on radon, and they'll give away radon tests during those classes.
So now, these ones that we look like we may anticipate purchasing, how do they send those in? Is there a fee associated to that?
No. So the tests that we would be purchasing include the shipping back to the lab.
I talked to a resident last night that he called Caramundi, remember, that he called, and it takes 2 months to get it back. You send it in, and then
there's is there a cost for him to do the test?
It took him 2 months to get back.
This one is, but
I
wouldn't
see it. 1 week.
Oh, yeah, really? These are short-term tests.
It's a short-term test.
It's a short-term test. And that's important to note too. These are short-term tests. The long-term tests are significantly higher in cost. So
I want to be careful on subsidizing the cost on these. So if we do it, my recommendation is we sell them what we get them for. Mm-hmm. And also, if anybody goes into a hardware store, like a big orange building down the street, they sell radon kits for $10, but then there's a $40 lab fee. So they're $50 in that test. So this is a significant savings for them.
Right.
You know, since I know radon is a little bit high, I've had mine tested, and mine came below the four, which I was a little surprised on, but I was glad I actually got the testing done. So
there's something about having residents participate. If you just throw them out, I don't think there's the buy-in with it. I think if they have to buy it, they're more inclined to use it.
I do support the subsidy in the sense that if we do, like they mentioned, an air quality night or a health fair or something, that we have some kits to offer, because I think when you have that incentive to pique the interest, then more people will do it. But yes, walking into the city, buy it, absolutely. But we should have the flexibility of doing some.
I know those are coming up, so we'll preload that and say, Council, are you comfortable donating the first 20 kits or something?
Yeah, right. We could specify a certain number.
A certain number once
or
not.
If a resident ordered this exact same test from the same company, it would cost them $14.80 just for the kit. So it is a significant savings, because they do treat cities like a health department when they give this discount. So the direction that I'm looking for is just to see if this is something that you would like me to add to the budget, so that when we bring the budget before you for approval, it has this in it with the dollar amount, so that we can offer it to the public. And then if we want to offer it year-round, or if there's just a certain number of months, because the test really has a better benefit during the colder months.
But it's because, if I understand correctly, if you're leaving your windows open, then it can vent out. Mm-hmm. And so I'm okay offering it year-round, just with the extra education and saying only do it if you're going to keep your house closed and with air conditioning. But don't open all of your doors and windows and then invalidate the test results.
Yeah.
That's what I was just going to say. For this to move forward, we got to have a campaign to say, hey, here's some of the problems inherent with radon gas, and hopefully that would instill people to say, hey, we need a test.
If we can obtain it, you know, at a better rate than the public can get it, then yeah, let's provide it at cost.
And it's a public safety issue. It really is. And so that's why there's a nexus to government providing this. So I support purchasing whatever small number you feel is appropriate, the 200 or whatever you feel is right-sized for us. I would like to see a few kits offered for free, which would effectively be a subsidy, but not all of them. Right?
No, I agree. If we do it with, if you do your campaign and you have the DEQ and do it.
Yeah. I think
like,
if
we came in and did it, so if we did it during town days, kind of as a kickoff, I'm okay with that subsidy.
Hey, we could throw out radon kits instead of the...
I'd only throw out one.
Or if they come for a special education night and they're willing to invest that time, then they ought to get a free kit out of it.
Yeah.
So things like that, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
But if they're just coming in to buy it, then buy it.
Right, and that's how we thought of kicking off the campaign, is we would have them come in and teach a class to the community. We would give out free kits at that time, and then let them know that the kit will remain available for purchase throughout this time frame. And then we would just do that every year.
So I just want to caution on sitting on the inventory on those, so let's monitor that close and see where we're at with that.
Absolutely. Let's test our new city hall already.
Yeah. Yes, there you go.
How's the old basement?
Yeah, so it looks like it will probably come at about $1,600 in the budget. So,
but there will be an offsetting revenue line of some smaller amount as well. So.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job. Okay, we need to go into closed session, so I will accept the motion to go into closed session.
What are we going into for?
For litigation and property.
Go ahead. I will motion to close the city council meeting to convene in a closed session to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation and the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property as provided by Utah Code Annotated 524205.
That's for you.
Second. I screen. Motion second. Jared, I need your vote. Jared?
Yeah.
No comment.
Is two fingers like a yes or a no?
Jared, did you know we're going to close the door?
Right. You get to be bored all night.
Oh, man.
But thank you.
You kidding me? You bet.
He asked me if her temperature was, and I told him, meaning bored, and said, oh, then I'm going to go.
Well, I'm a yes.
Yes.
Corley,
yes. Corley, thank you. We can close.
Okay, we're in closed session.